It's going to have democratizing impacts for Hispanic communities, Latino communities across the country. Because right now, if you want to build a building anywhere, there's only two ways to finance it, debt or equity, right? Either someone puts in equity or they go to a bank and they borrow money or some combination thereof. But the people who are lending the money or the people who are making money on the equity are big funds, which sometimes maybe the average person cannot invest in. So what crypto will allow us to do is to invest in small increments, $100 increments, $1,000 increments, $1 increments, in these kinds of vehicles. And it's going to give people a democratizing opportunity for wealth generation that didn't exist in the past.
What's up, Disrupt Nation? My name is Tony Delgado, and welcome to the Disrupt Podcast. On this podcast, we're going to be talking to the top influencers, creators, movers, and shakers who are on a mission to change the world. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, make sure to rate the show 5 stars. It helps out the show more than you know. Now let's get into it.
Okay, Mayor, again, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us. Miami has transformed into this global hub, specifically for technology and finance, which is what we're passionate about. What do you think have been those key strategies, initiatives, or partnerships that have been crucial to allow for this transformation to happen, specifically in those sectors?
Well, first of all, thank you, Tony and Gabby, for being here. What we saw was an opportunity. I call it a tsunami of opportunity, where you had some macro tailwinds or some macro events that created a massive opportunity for advancement in a very short period of time. What were they? First, the SALT deduction going away. So for cities that maybe could be seen as competitive cities or cities that were, you know, very bullish on biotech, finance, and tech, the ability for them to deduct the state income taxes from their federal income taxes went away. So that made them double digits more expensive on an annual basis than Miami. So that was one major disruption. The second, of course, was COVID. We were seen as a city that was relatively open while others were relatively closed. So that gave us an opportunity as well. And then the third was, this distributed workforce, right? When you think about why is it important to be a global hub? Well, it's important to be a global hub because barriers are coming down, right? And they're coming down because now you have, the ability to work from anywhere. Right? And you see companies that are building themselves up in ways that they employ employees from all over the world or the country. And that's important because you could get, for example, a very high-skilled employee that lives in a city that's much more affordable. So you can manage the wages, right, and get high skill and manage that person's cost of living. So that's an interesting new concept that this allows you to do. And then I think the fourth factor was, unfortunately, some of the titans of tech and finance, in my opinion, were being sort of anti-American, right? You had a situation where you had New York, after winning the Amazon HQ2 prize, saying no thank you. And you had a situation where in California, you had an elected official say F Elon Musk. And he said, message received, and he left. And he went to Austin to create a gigafactory. By contrast, right over your shoulder, you see how we responded to the question of what if we move Silicon Valley to Miami? We responded with, how can I help? Because we want it to be different. We want it to be saying, come create jobs. Come bring investment to our community while everybody else is rejecting it. So I think those four factors is what led to this major disruptive moment for Miami.
Yeah, I think that inclusivity part with leadership that's inclusive, that's what has allowed for Miami to become what it is, because we've seen the most successful people in the world literally move here from all different industries, right? So we have Messi in soccer, but we also have Jeff Bezos from Amazon recently, right?
Absolutely. And I think, some of these terms become very political. But the truth is that Miami is an incredibly, it's a city where there's so many different cultures, so many different people that come from so many different places, that for me, that creates a variety of opinions, perspectives, restaurants. So it really is part of our richness. It's part of who we are. It's part of our DNA. And I think in the way the world is constructed right now, that is a major advantage. Because people can come from the outside, 70% of the people that live in Miami were not born in Miami, and feel comfortable. And that's important, particularly when you're trying to be, a global city. So you know, that's what I've heard from people who live here. I'm the first Miami-born mayor, so that's, I sort of broke the mold. Yeah, I broke the trend, 125 years plus. So it's a, you know, it's an exciting moment for our city. And I agree with you. I think the fact that people feel so comfortable here from so many different parts of the world is part of what we're known for.
Yeah, I mean, in a world, I mean, you mentioned it, like during COVID, the world became very divisive. And your leadership has been very inclusive and you've been a great unifier. How do you think that the Miami culture maybe contrasts from some other cities where people are fleeing from?
I think we're different. I think part of it is our sort of birth narrative at some level. This is a community of exiles. Oftentimes people have been sort of kicked out of their country of birth, fleeing oppression, fleeing dictatorships.
Your family's from Cuba.
My family's
from Cuba. Yeah, whether it be Cuba, Venezuela, there's a lot of people who come to Miami as a safe haven.
So I think we really love this country. We really appreciate this capitalistic system where if you work hard, if you study, if you pay your dues, if you treat people right, you have a chance to be successful. Right? I think that is the American dream. So we are fundamentally very much into American prosperity. We think that's a massive democratizing force. Unfortunately, in this country and in others, we see what I consider to be a virus, which is this virus of socialism and communism, which is this notion that government can come in and make everybody equal. And it sounds great in theory, but it never works in practice. And it never has worked in the history of humanity. So we're very clear about that. And I think that also differentiates us. And by the way, not everybody likes that about us, right? In the sense that there are people that want to shape that narrative. And so they try to shape a narrative against us. So look, it's tough in politics in today's day. I've always tried to be a unifier. I've always tried to be someone who brings people together, who gets, or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, better said. Meaning when you bring people together, you have something that's stronger than the individual component parts. So, you know, that's just my personality. You know, some people are different than others. And I also think that's kind of a mayoral personality. You know, mayors don't have we don't have the option to fight all the time. We have to solve problems. And you can't go to the grocery store and be, you know, blaming somebody for something that is your responsibility. So, you know, I think that's who we are. And it's part of what makes us special.
So for aspiring leaders, is there any other principles do you think are key and crucial for effective leadership that you could recommend people who are watching and say, you know, I want to be a leader?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're being followed much in a modern day political world, but civility is important. Integrity is obviously important. It's tough because you are being attacked viciously oftentimes by the press, by also people who are paid to attack you. And so there are these new phenomenons because the new war, we're seeing wars obviously across the world, which is disheartening. But there's also another war happening, which is a war of information. And that is a war that is being fought every single day to try to convince people of a particular viewpoint. And there's a lot of disinformation and misinformation that is being done specifically to fool people and is being done for nefarious reasons. That's, I think, the biggest threat to democracy. That's the biggest threat to our system of government, our way of life. And you know, I'm not saying that I have the answer. I'm not so sure that I do. I'm a victim of it myself, and I'm trying to, you know, you try to wade your way through it and figure it out. But I will say this, and I'll finish with this on this question. For our democracy to thrive, it requires good people. And so what I would just say is, I know it's tough. I know it seems unfair, and I know it seems punitive, this public life. But we need good people. Without good people, our democracy cannot survive. And so, you know, that's the one thing I would say.
100%. Yeah, so education is a big part of what we do at Latino Wall Street, and we're committed to bringing finance, education about not only traditional finance, right? Me and Gabby came from New York and kind of the Wall Street world. And then we saw Miami becoming this new financial hub, tons of people moving down to South Florida, and the bull, the traditional Wall Street bull, was then disrupted with the bull in Miami, the crypto bull, the blockchain bull, right? So what role do you see blockchain playing in the both the global financial markets and the ecosystem here in Miami.
And crypto, especially.
Yeah, I think it's a huge part. I think it is a transformational technology, which is part of the reason why we sort of went all in. I think it, what's interesting is, look, and I tell this to people all the time, they get caught up in one company failing or another company failing. I always remind them of Netscape and Napster. For those of you who don't know, Napster was a file sharing, music sharing app. And now you have Apple Music and Spotify, right? So that company didn't survive, but the concept revolutionized the world. And Netscape was a browser. And now you have Google and Safari. I mean, Netscape didn't survive as a company, but the concept revolutionized the world, right? I mean, I just saw this incredible Google commercial about all these, you know, the most searched person on this and that and the other. It was an incredible commercial. So what this technology is going to allow us to do is have transparency. It's going to have potentially better governance. It's going to have democratizing impacts for Hispanic communities, Latino communities across the country. Because right now, if you want to build a building anywhere, there's only two ways to finance it, debt or equity, right? Either someone puts in equity or they go to a bank and they borrow money or some combination thereof. But the people who are lending the money or the people who are making money on the equity are big funds, which sometimes maybe the average person cannot invest in. So what crypto will allow us to do is to invest in small increments, $100 increments, $1,000 increments, $1 increments, in these kinds of vehicles, and it's going to give people a democratizing opportunity for wealth generation that didn't exist in the past.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. And to finish, you've had so many accomplishments, obviously, and we very much acknowledge you for that, and we look up to you for that. But we would like to know your most proud moment of the year. If you could just pick one, what would that be?
This might be it. You know, being named mayor of the year.
Oh my God.
That's a big deal. Look, I've been blessed in other years. I had once Time Magazine name me one of the next 100 leaders of the world, leaders of the world, which was a new list that they came up with, which was the next 100 list. They have a 100 list, it's the 100 great leaders of the world. I had Fortune name me the 20th greatest leader in the world, I think in 22. This may be it for 2023. I mean, for someone, an organization like yours to say that I am the best mayor or the mayor of the year or something like that, look, we don't do this job for accolades. That's not why we do the job. We do the job to help people. But it's nice. It does give you a little bit of gas in the spiritual gas tank when somebody says, hey, look, we noticed, you know, you're working hard. You're making a difference. And it's no, right? Like generally. Yeah. That is it's nice because we do give it 100%. And there are critics, right? Like, you know.
Anything.
Exactly. Right? And so it's nice. I tell my wife sometimes, she's like, you know, I don't want to compliment you because, you know, I said, honey, you have to compliment me because I get so much criticism from so many haters and so many critics that if my wife doesn't compliment me, you know, I'm not going to have any self-esteem by the time I get home. So it's a joke, but you know, it is true that when people recognize the work you do, it gives you fuel. It gives you, in Spanish, you say esperanza, hope.
Yeah.
Right? That, you know, you're on the right track, that somebody is noticing, that this is having an impact, and that you can weather the storm of criticism because you are making a difference. Otherwise, sometimes it feels like, why am I doing this?
It's just work and work. Yeah, and just to finish, any milestone you would like to share with us this upcoming year? I'm sure you have a lot on your calendar, but anything you're specifically excited about?
So our agenda this year is going to be focused on the three H's, I call it. Homicide, homelessness, and housing, right? We want to make sure this year we had the lowest homicide rate since 1947 or since we started recording statistics in 1947. We've had a couple of years that are less in the intervening period, but we started recording in 1947 homicides. We had 32. Right now we have 30. Wow. So we're about to end the year with less. Our high water mark was 220. On housing, we want to continue to push the envelope to make housing affordable. You know, we see this is a national issue.
Yeah, it is.
Housing affordability is a major issue. So we want to be creative and proactive on that. And homelessness, we're down to 534 unsheltered homeless, And we want to be the first major American city to be at zero. So that's what I'm
focusing on. A big goal.
It's a big goal.
But we need big goals, right?
That's big goals.
We're all about.
Yeah.
Listen, you'll never get to the goal if you never set it. For sure.
That's true. So anything else?
No, I mean, I love those goals because as Miami continues to flourish, right, there's the saying that the tide rises, all ships, and as the cost of living goes up, it is a concern that the normal people are getting left behind. You look like what happened in San Francisco, and it completely destroyed the economy there. So I love that you're forward thinking enough to focus on those problems.
Yeah, and look, we're also number one in wage growth, right? So on the income side, we've done very well. I think we've gone up since 2019, 138% in income.
Wow.
So, you know, there's two quick sides of the equation. Inflation sometimes can also lift income. So we're just trying to make life more affordable. We just did a free gas giveaway yesterday because gas prices are through the roof. And we're trying to do everything in the holidays to make life a little easier for people.
We appreciate it. We thank you. We acknowledge you. And this was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What's up, Disrupt Nation? Thank you so much for watching this video. If you found value from this video, I want to ask you for a favor. I want you to hit the like button, but more important than that, I want you to hit share. And I want you to send this video to a friend, a family member, a business partner, and share the value with other people. And if you have any questions for me, please drop them in the comment section below. I do my best to answer all questions personally. And make sure that you smack the subscribe button and turn on the bell so you get notified next time we drop a new video. All right, I'll see you in the next one.